Hey there, Rob Cesternino, getting you ready for a special feed drop of a brand new patron podcast that we did for the first time on Friday afternoon. It's called the BB Q&A. You grill us with your questions about the Big Brother live feeds every single week. Taryn Armstrong will join me on Friday afternoons, where we will take calls from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, and you can ask your questions about what's going on. And what a great time to kick this off, because nobody knows what's going on in the Big Brother house, maybe except for Taryn. So right in the midst of a very wild week number one of the Big Brother live feeds, we went on to take the questions from our patrons. This podcast took place at roughly 6 Eastern on Friday, so things certainly may have changed. And while a Big Brother 23 is a very fluid situation, I wanted people to get the chance to hear what we were doing on the BB Q&A before things got too out of date. So a very special feed drop for this podcast that you could hear every single week in our patron podcast feed. Plus the slop, where I talk about all the nonsense of Big Brother 23 and all of the Big Brother alumni, that is coming on Mondays. And that will also be in the patron podcast feed, which you will be able to hear at robhasawebsite.com/Patron. It's a great way to support the show. You can cancel anytime. robhasawebsite.com/patron. So enjoy the podcast version of the BB Q&A Unlocked Patron episode. The video is available as well at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for the first episode of a brand new patron exclusive podcast. It's the BB Q&A here, and we are back behind the grill. Don't know if we're at the cookout, but here we are here with our chief Big Brother correspondent here for Rob Has a Podcast, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you holding up at this hour? It is 6:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we are, if you're listening to this podcast. Things may have changed if you are listening in the future.
Yeah, there's been no downtime so far. I mean, it's just been it's been all over the place, and we went to go live earlier, and we postponed an hour because there was so much going on, and I haven't even moved from this spot because I've just been watching the whole time.
Before we talk Big Brother, how are you holding up, Taryn? The feeds came on Thursday night, and I feel like you must not have slept. Were you just getting like a delivery just coming to the door to bring you food?
That was my life a couple of weeks ago. Luckily, I have some amount of cooking abilities now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's inconvenient, but entertaining.
Okay.
So far, yeah.
All right. So we were scheduled to go live at 5 p.m. Eastern for the first episode of this podcast. The nomination or the feeds ended up being down. Nominations came in a little bit earlier than normally expected. We tried to sort of time it to when nominations typically happen on a Friday to be able to chat when the feeds went down. They went to nominations early. I was speculating they must have liked where Frenchie was with nominations. I was, all right, put the ceremony time.
Yeah, you know, the nominations don't usually happen that early. We had tried to guess, and I figured that trying to guess it would always be a losing battle to try to time it to the live feeds. But it was very bad timing for us, and the timing also really did matter quite a lot because things were shifting even just heading up into the nomination ceremony. There was some momentum to change the existing idea of nominations prior to the nominations happening, but they were called for nominations before anything could to move forward with that. So they ended up staying where they were going to be instead of changing to something new.
Okay. I just want to set the stage here for what we're going to do here in this podcast. We are going to take calls from the patrons that we don't ever do this on the podcast. So this is your chance every week to be able to call in, ask your questions about what's happening for the week in Big Brother. And this week, I think we all have questions. So this is a perfect time to get it started. If you were watching us, whether in the Big Brother Facebook group or on our YouTube video, you can click the link. And then you'll be in the waiting room, and then we can bring you up. Sam is backstage, and you can tell him
what you want to chat about. Although I suspect most people will want to chat about the same things. Just to set the stage again, in case you are just joining us, nominations came down within the last hour or so. And it was Alyssa who was expected and Kylan who was the wild card. Taryn, what changed to get it to Kylan?
So we talked about this a little bit this morning, but it primarily comes from the fact that that Kylan is attached to Derek X. Derek X is in hot water because of Kylan ratting out some of what he was saying about Whitney, who is otherwise irrelevant in the situation. Mm-hmm. But that turned into something about Christian and in Frenchie's mind. And so with Derek X in hot water, Kylan was then seen talking to Derek X, was then called out by Frenchie because he imagined, oh, he's talking with Derek X. He must be in an alliance with Derek X and Travis, who Derek is actually in with. And Kylan was in with them to some degree anyway, but none of it would have mattered if Derek X wasn't in trouble for talking about Whitney, which he was the one who said that in the first place. And so then that turned into, oh, they were talking about me. They're coming after me, which was utter nonsense. And this is the difficulty in trying to explain what happened here is that normally I could tell you a series of events that led to a certain outcome because people found out. A lot of this is in Frenchie's own mind. And a lot of it is completely imagined with some small bits of it being actual truth. Mm-hmm. So in Frenchie's mind, Kylan has betrayed him with Derek X and Travis. And they were talking about him, talking about going after him. And he tried to talk to Kylan about it. Kylan thought that he cleared the air about it, but no, he didn't. And Frenchie feels very personally betrayed because he felt like they had a very good conversation about like personal things and that they could be friends after the show. And to find out that he's been secretly betraying him this whole time, he feels very hurt.
And in the last hour or so, Frenchie was talking with Kylan, told him he is the pawn. That is factually correct at this moment.
Yes. So the idea is that Alyssa's on the block as a way of striking at Christian.
Yes.
The super big fish. Super big fish is Christian. He wanted to take a shot at Christian. Christian is safe because of the wild card competition. And so instead he has to take a shot at Alyssa. Now, again, this is a Frenchie fantasy because Alyssa's not actually that close with Christian. He just imagines that they are. So this shot at Christian via Alyssa is pretty ridiculous to begin with, but that's the idea with Kylan as the pawn. But he also tells Kylan just now that he has an additional potential target, the big fish, not the super big fish, but the big fish. And the big fish is Travis, who he has also imagined is in an alliance with Christian because he says that he's not, which means that he probably is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This whole plan is like some like a diabolical, like a Lex Luthor type plan where it's like, well, I can't get Superman, but I'm going to take Lois Lane and I'll capture her. And then Superman will have to come out and reveal himself to me. And that's when we'll get him.
A little bit, yeah. It would be like that, except it's Lex Luthor like in a cave by himself, mm-hmm. playing with like different shaped rocks,
mm-hmm.
And then like he keeps dropping them, and then trying to retroactively explain how dropping it was on purpose, and this is the reason why.
Okay, well, let's get to some of your questions here today because that's what this show is about. Let me go ahead and. Okay, let me start off with Marietta, who is one of the great Big Brother patron viewers. Marietta, how are you?
Hi, guys.
What's going on?
How are you? I'm good. Happy to be back.
Yes, Marietta, you doing okay with all this craziness?
Yes, it's very entertaining.
Yes, okay. What's your question on BB23?
Well, we've seen how Frenchie kind of things. It's not very logical, but he started off trying to appease Twitter and saying there's not going to be a POC or a woman on the block. Well, that didn't end up well. But he also thought that Alyssa and Christian are going to be a showman's just because, I don't know, they look pretty together.
Mm-hmm.
Has the game become too meta?
I mean, I don't think so. I think that the more meta it gets, the more it can evolve in some degree, by some degree. I think that, you know, you bring the same kind of recruits to the season every time, that you're going to see a similar result every time. But when you are bringing in people who have a history, who are knowledgeable about the history of the show, then they can iterate on what they saw before and then just continue and continue. We can see new things. And this is a new thing, and it's interesting.
Yeah. And Marietta, I mean, I think that Frenchie has come in and been a perfect embodiment of Big Brother Twitter, that he's a hypocrite who's wrong about everything.
Yes, that's one way to see it, yeah. But Twitter is not happy
with
him right now.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
Twitter is going off on Frenchie.
Well, here's the thing that I've found about trying to appease the fans of the show. The harder you try to appease the fans on this show, the more the fans will dislike you. It's that the more that you can be like completely apathetic about what the fans think, the more they will stan you.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
that is true, yeah.
Yeah. If you are like a cat, Taryn, where the cat does not care what you think of it, then people will chase
with
it.
C,
yes.
The animal, or yes. Cat, the person from BB 21?
More the animal.
Yeah. You need to play, hard to get. Mm-hmm. You pretend you don't even know it exists, and then occasionally be like, oh yeah, these fans over here, like you grace Twitter's presence once in a while, and they'll be like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. But otherwise pretend they don't exist, and then, you know, just, you know.
Yeah.
What I don't get though is Frenchie wanted to be like the Twitter player this mm-hmm. season. And I mean, if he hadn't stated that he wouldn't do all the stereotypical stuff of week one, there wouldn't be such an uproar on Twitter against him.
Sure.
Since he stated it, why didn't he put up, I know Brent like charmed him, but why not Travis, for example?
It appeared that Travis got to him in a way that convinced him that he could work with Travis and Derek X. I think that's the reality of the situation. I think that Travis convinced him in the same way that Brent convinced him, the same way that anybody can convince him in the moment. He is now saying that he thinks that Travis might secretly be working with Christian and that Travis is still an option to target. I think that that is something that he came up with while trying to explain himself to Kyland, mm-hmm. and he is now starting to run with it because he's also having to explain himself to Alyssa and Travis, or sorry, Alyssa and Christian. And so he's kind of like, because I think this, then I can still do this. But I think the reality is that when Travis talked to him, he was convinced by Travis that, hey, like, I want to work with you. This is a solid group. He brought in Travis, Brent, and Xavier into the Have Not room earlier today. They had this sort of like bro-y conversation where they said, hey, we're all on different teams. We should all work together. This is the group that can run the show. And I think he was bought into that to a small degree earlier today. I doubt he'll be bought into it later in the day, but I think in that moment, that's what he was thinking.
Okay, one last question, because I know there's probably people with lots of questions. Mm-hmm. If you're a player in a season with a Frenchie, don't you kind of want him around because you can kind of emotionally manipulate him if you're good at that?
It's definitely something to consider. In Big Brother 20, Tyler had saw Sam, right? And right away, he was kind of like, I feel like this is somebody that I can work with. He also saw Caitlin. He thought
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking Caitlin.
Right? Both of those attempts backfired on Tyler a little bit by the end because he did not have the emotional endurance to keep up with all of it.
And he ended up putting a lot of his energy into other projects in the house.
Yes. If you are good, then yes, this can be a useful tool, But as we've seen, you know, Frenchie will talk to the next person and be convinced by anything that they say, pretty much. And he does not have the tightest lips in the world either. So you have to be very, very careful about how you go about it. So really, I think that what you should probably do is say, okay, while he's around, while he's here, I will do my best to make use of him.
Yeah.
But he is not somebody I'm going to invest a lot into.
And I think that Devin in Big Brother 16 was like the best example of this, where that even like Derek and Cody and the, you know, the bomb squad said, all right, that's, you know, enough of Devin. Like this thing has gone as far as it can go.
If Devin follows Big Brother at all, he must be having a field day. Finally, someone has come along who can take the worst HOH crown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's wild. I just think it's going to be so interesting when Frenchie comes out of the house and sees the reaction to, like, he's going to come out and say, like, I killed it. I was good. That was epic. And then just sees the reaction to everything. I'm surprised that Rockstar has not disavowed him. Like, I do not know this man. I have nothing to do with him.
Well, has she really claimed ownership either? I think that...
Yeah, I think she just retweeted a reply or something.
back
if Claire
up.
Does something, then she might have to say something.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Marietta, great to talk to you as always.
Great to see you guys.
Okay, take care. Bye. All right, let's go to Addison, who is ready to go. Addison, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Addison, what's happening?
So, I wanted to talk a bit about Brent. Now, first of all, you guys were very, very harsh on him in your cast assessment when you found out that he had been a lottery presenter for the Rhode Island State Lottery. And I just want to say, as a fellow former Rhode Island State Lottery presenter, it's not a half bad gig.
Do you know Brent Champagne, Addison?
We sadly didn't overlap, but I'm pretty sure that my boss there would have been his boss because they'd been around for a while. So,
mm-hmm.
Addison,
do you think that Brent Champagne will be good at like pulling the chip out of the veto bag? Like,
he'd be great at that. That's your entire thing. Is you stand there, you look at the machine when the numbers pop up, you say the number when it pops up.
Let's see how he is at like hosting a comp. Maybe he's gonna be like a real natural.
I think so. So I was a little hurt on his behalf and my own behalf.
Okay.
Right. Sure.
Okay. But besides that, well, what can we do for you, Addison?
Well, I mean, besides just that, I did want to talk about Brent a little because, I mean, we saw sort of before Frenchie seemed to have a complete meltdown and go through wanting to nominate half the house. It seemed like he was pretty locked in on wanting to get out Brent, and then we saw Brent have that conversation where he basically completely flipped him around and convinced him to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we've seen Frenchie going back and forth on stuff so much. How much credit do we give to Brent for flipping that versus Frenchie and even expanding that out to anyone? How much credit is anyone going to get for saving themselves this week versus just not being where Frenchie's like roulette wheel landed at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we looked a lot at in Big Brother Canada 9 as well, where like if you have very indecisive players who will basically be convinced by anybody they talk to, you know, does it require a lot to convince them? Clearly not. I think that Brent did a good job in that conversation. I think that he's done a decent job overall, but maybe not quite as impressive as it seemed initially now that we've seen other people succeed with basically anything.
Yeah. I liked what you and Puya were saying on the update today about how French was like, did you see how all of the women that they just were melted as soon as he talked to them? And then Frenchie ended up being a victim of the same thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like Medusa. Like you can't look. You shouldn't have looked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Frenchie should have like tied himself to the... What was that? The Odyssey? No. Okay. I'm getting my.
Then they put the Medusa head on the.
Yeah. No, I'm getting. It's like the sirens. I'm getting all confused. It's been a busy week.
Idea.
Yeah. Addison, anything else going on?
I mean, obviously, yeah. I was also wondering. I mean, obviously we're imagining Frenchie's going to be in a lot of trouble in, if not next week, then the weeks after. But like, what's his best case scenario at this point? Like, who's outside of like himself winning POV, someone on his team winning HOH, like, who at this point is he going to feel, is he going to be safe regardless of what he feels? Will he be safe with if they win HOH? Like, is there anyone at this point who'll stick their neck out to save him if everyone decides to just wash their hands?
I mean, one of the interesting things about Big Brother is that he doesn't necessarily, like, there's no necessarily like set in stone target, especially because so many things can happen. If somebody doesn't feel like Frenchie is coming for them, or that any particular player is coming for them, then they don't need to bother with him, right? It's really just if there's an HOH who feels like they don't have anybody coming after them, they don't have anything to do, okay, now somebody like Frenchie is a super easy out. Like, if he's mm-hmm. pissed everyone off, then I can just have an easy week. And that's a good place to be. But if you're somebody who feels like, hey, I need to strengthen my team or weaken another team, or I feel not great about this person and I want to make a bigger move than just go with the house, then Frenchie could be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's always the idea of that, like, oh, well, we could get Frenchie next week, but this person is actually like a threat to win things. Like, I don't think that Frenchie is actually like, yeah, he was the HOH who like got the puzzle together, but I don't think that people are looking at him like he is a big threat to, is going to win a lot of HOHs.
Yeah, which is surprising, because I mean, he won those like three competitions back to back to back, all in like somewhat different ish things, like puzzle, but then there's the mm-hmm. physical throwing stuff comp.
Yeah.
And yet that's been the least of people's focus for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People often talk about Audrey as somebody that, you know, burned very bright and flamed out very quickly. But I think something that can be forgotten is that Audrey didn't go home right away. It was actually, you know, she actually survived a little bit longer than I think people remember. And really the only reason she ended up leaving at all was because Vanessa had to work very hard to make it happen. And if she hadn't, then Audrey would have stayed even longer. And the real reason that Audrey left was because she was on to Vanessa, not because of her blown up game. So somebody like Frenchie, who may have a blown up game after this week, does not necessarily mean that he is dead in the water here.
Okay. Addison, great to chat with you. Talk to you again soon, okay?
You as well. And I just have to say, Rob, you were absolutely right in your tweet. Frenchie really should have gone for the 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Taryn called it. Taryn did call it. I mean, again, this is a little results-oriented. We had no idea that Frenchie was such a lunatic.
But yeah, probably would have served him well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, all right.
All right, thank you.
Addison. Okay, bye. All right. Okay, let's go to... Let's go to Megan. Looks like she's at work here. Okay, Megan.
Hi.
Yes. Okay, Megan. You have an interesting setup. Must be great for Zoom calls.
Yeah. Yes, it is, and I am still at work, but here I am on the call.
Okay. Thanks for taking a break to talk to us.
Yes. Yeah, thanks. About the Stockwatch, and when does it start? And for Taryn the pro, what's the opening strategy for doing well?
So the Stockwatch will start on Tuesday night. The roundtable will be Tuesday night, and we will rate all of the players. It will set the price for them, and then you'll be able to, you know, buy whoever you want that night. And then the market will close before mm-hmm. the Thursday night eviction episode. So that's when it will start. In terms of strategy, it's usually I do a stream to sort of like go over strategy of the week on Twitch. So like specific strategy, you can sort of like listen there. But in general, it's usually best to go all in on one person. It's a bit riskier, but if you don't, there are definitely going to be people who pass you because there are so many players. At least a few of them are going to have gone all in on the ultimately best buy of the week. So going all in on one person is usually a good option unless you're risk averse. And then trying to look at the projections and see like which person is likely to not tank and would have the best sort of like potential profit heading into next week if they don't tank.
Taryn, has anybody ever opened lower than Frenchie might be about to open the season? Because I have to feel like that nobody's ever come into the season and started as a one and then survived the week as Frenchie might be doing. I feel like that this could break the game, no? If he gets
we'll have
to a two or a three?
We'll have to see if he actually gets a one, right? Mm-hmm. But I actually, the formula accounts for this. So like even if he did start at a one and then moved up to a two or a three, the fact that he was so low means that like you're not going to make an extraordinary amount of profit on him. You're supposed to make profit on the players that are doing well. He'd have to really jump up to like a five or a six from a one for you to see like mm-hmm. serious profit.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. I'll go all in on Frenchie then.
I'm sure a lot of people will. And where do you go to realitystockwatch.com to register?
Yep.
Okay. And when do the picks need to be in by?
What was that?
When do the Stockwatch picks need to be in by?
By Thursday night, when the episode starts. So 8 p.m. Eastern will be when the market closes and you will no longer be able to make your picks for the week.
All right. Be sure to look for the BB Roundtable Tuesday night for the starting prices for that. All right, Megan, take care.
Thanks, you too.
Bye. All right. Okay. Let's say hello to Aisha is here. Always so excited to hear from Aisha. And I know she's especially enjoying Big Brother 23 so far. Aisha, how are you? Aisha, you're on mute. Yes. Yes.
Hello, guys. Okay. I'm good.
Yes. Aisha, what do you make of this Big Brother 23 so far?
It's a mess, mm-hmm. which I love. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited that you were doing the patron thing. Thank you, Taryn, for explaining it. It is mm-hmm. very confusing. I just have a quick question for Taryn. Taryn, one day when you're alone, every time you have been by yourself, in my head, I always hear the Green Day song All By Myself. And I don't know if you know that song, but one day, could you play a clip of it when it's just you by yourself?
I'm sure I have. I used to listen to Green Day all the time, actually. All By Myself was, I liked that song.
So, it's a great song. Aisha, so are you saying that you would like to have a different opening theme song on the live feed updates that Taryn is doing solo?
Well, when he does the live feed solo, he always says that he's by himself and he's going to be talking to himself. And it sounds like part of the song. Mm-hmm. I think that he should play both just once.
Okay.
And also, thank you, because I have not had to read a Joker's update for the day since 2017, I think. And mm-hmm. I appreciate that so much because that took a lot of time.
Does Joker's updates hate Taryn?
No, they're actually pretty kind to me. They're not mad of doing the
dirty work of updating the fans.
I used to have a job where I was a secretary, and in the mornings when we were slow, I read the daily archive for the day before, mm-hmm. and then try to keep up with the live feeds that way.
Yeah,
so much. Yeah.
They're thrilled. There's a team Jokers in the house.
That's right.
Took 23 seasons, but finally some acknowledgement.
That's right. Oh, yes. I really thought Frenchie was going to drop a F y'all cornbread style night one. I was waiting for it.
Well, just wait till he walks out the door.
Yes.
He still might. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If he does, that will make my season.
Taryn, what are the odds of a Frenchie self-eviction?
I don't think he will self-evict, but I could see him blanketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see him going full blanket. Camo blanket.
It's hard to like burn this hot and bright and not have just like a complete come crashing back down to earth at some point.
It's going to be glorious. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Who had a messier week this week, Aisha? Was it Frenchie or was it Akiva with the listener's choice poll?
I think Akiva might have.
Yes. Frenchie's not under investigation. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Aisha, did you have any other questions?
I did not. Thank you guys so much. This was awesome. Thank you for putting this together.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's talk to another one of our old friends. Susie is here. Susie. Here's Susie.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Taryn.
Susie, how are you?
I am so happy to be with you both. Thank you so much for doing this. Just like Aisha, I'm so excited to have this in the slop for the patrons. So
cool.
I'm really, really excited. Thank you.
Okay. Susie, what's your question about week one of Big Brother 23?
Oh my gosh. It's what a ride. It's been, I've been trying to piece the whole day together. It's been crazy. What do you think about this alliance that just formed right before you had referenced it when you talked to Marietta of the four guys? Do you think that after Frenchie finishes his HOH, that Xavier, that Travis and Brent are still going to like want to move forward? Because it seemed to really move the nominations in a certain way. I think that that talk really did something in Frenchie's mind. So do you think it's something that moving forward it'll stick?
I don't. I think that anything would sway Frenchie's mind. And this one in particular, you know, they were trying to clear the air between Travis and Brent, and they kind of did, but there was still a very clear kind of like Brent is still not forgiven Derek X for the non-existent thing that Derek X did to Brent. And Travis is trying to sort of like advocate for Derek in that space, and it kind of worked, but then, you know, he's on a completely separate page than the rest of them. He's bringing up Tiffany as a potential target. All three of the other guys are like, what? No, absolutely not. They have different people that they're close to, and there's not any real relationship going on there. And you know, again, Frenchie is already now talking about targeting Travis, targeting Derek X again. And I think that Frenchie will continue to just move to the next person that talks to him in sequential order until you know, until he loses power.
You know, it's pretty wild, right, that you had in this house that the unthinkable, that Travis and Christian are in the house and they don't really love each other. And it's almost like that. Do you think that Frenchie's actions this week could actually like bring them together?
I mean, that happens a lot.
And like, they might have naturally just gravitated towards each other. It's day two.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, we're day three, right? I can't keep track of time anymore.
But they didn't see each other and fall in love instantly. Like there was actually like a little bit of like friction there. And it's almost like that Frenchie is like, has like pushed them together.
He's speeding along. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's a matchmaker. Yeah. Okay. Susie, all right. Great to talk to you today. And
thank you so much, guys.
From you all season long, I'm sure. Okay.
Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye. Okay. Let's go to, all right, Mel is here. Mel, how are you?
What's going on? Good. How are you?
Doing great, Mel. What's happening?
Not too much. Just watching this mess of a Big Brother season.
Yes. Okay. We love it.
The feet just went down and came back up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mel, what's your question?
How long is Frenchie really going to last in this game? What's the over-under? 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
You know, I think it's so dependent on the competition outcomes in this case. I don't think that he has a lot of legs when it comes to staying of his own accord. So if I had to like put a guess down, it would probably be around around jury-ish. Like in the next few weeks, I think in the next few weeks that will be his biggest danger period, right? Where he'll be an easy target for somebody looking for an easy target, and he could very easily go home there. He's kind of in that Victoria spot from Big Brother Canada 9, where like there's not like a ton of reason to target him, after this point, because so many people are already looking at him. But if you're looking for an easy out, it's there. So he could definitely go home soon. If he doesn't, it's really just going to be every week he's not going to be able to keep himself safe, probably, given his level of gameplay. He might be better if he's not in power, but I think he could absolutely still be here for a few weeks if things go right for him.
I think it depends on how messy the next HOH is. If it's sort of like, as you were saying today with Puya about how, you know, the first HOH messiness sort of like sets the tone for the season. Like if they have like a very straightforward, like by the book second week, I feel like that it could course correct a little bit, where if it's a wild week two, it's just going to be sort of like, who knows what could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget that, you know, if anybody on his team wins HOH, he's safe for the week.
Yeah, he's safe for that week. So.
If he wins the wild card competition or somebody on his team wins the wild card competition and chooses to save him, then he'll be safe for the week. So there are a lot of opportunities for him to be safe or for, you know, other things to happen. But that it could also be a detriment to him, because if other targets are safe, he is a good alternative option. And so that could be why he goes in the next couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking like 3-4 weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that'll just be a fun next month or so. That's better than what I would have said. I was at week 3. But all right, we'll see, Mel. All right, Mel, thanks for the call, okay? All right.
Thanks, bye. Guys.
Okay. Let's go to Kevin is here. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes. Hear you perfectly, Kevin. What's going on?
Nothing much. Just, you know, I'm going into law school this fall, and I thought watching the live feeds for Big Brother would be, you know, a calming, less chaotic process. But now I'm starting to realize maybe that's the wrong call.
Yes. And Kevin, when you say you're going into bartending, going into law school, you do mean bartending school, right?
Right. Bartending and part-time modeling. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Just like Xavier. I also just want to say before I ask my question that, Taryn, I appreciate your live feed updates more now than maybe ever, because my girlfriend used to watch Big Brother, but she no longer has Paramount Plus. So I've been filling her in. And after the premiere episode and the first night of live feeds, I was like, oh, Frenchie's promising this and that about not nominating a woman, not nominating a POC. Like, we like Frenchie. And then today, she gives me a call like, oh, how's our fan favorite Frenchie doing? Is he doing a great job? I'm like, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. I really jumped the gun on that one. My first question real quick has to do with Frenchie. How does this compare so far? I know this isn't the whole HOH week. How does this compare so far to like Willie and Cody from Big Brother 19's first week of HOH? Because I'm starting to think, even though it's only been 2.5 days, basically, that he might be number one, even worse of a first week HOH than those guys.
Yeah. What's the Mount Rushmore of first week HOHs, Taryn?
I mean, you know, going all the way back to Mike Boogie in season two when he thought that he could set up the pawn situation. But, you know, the interesting thing about, you know, Cody and Willie is that, you know, they really got a lot of heat because they attempted to target one specific person and it kind of fell through. And that was a bit of a disaster for them. They were kind of like a bit power hungry. They kind of wanted to make decisions on their own. I really feel like the closest thing to Frenchie right now is Christie's HOH in season 21, when she was all over the place in terms of who she might target, and she was desperate for somebody to give her a reason to target somebody because she didn't want to be the one to be blamed for it. Frenchie has the same kind of mentality. He's looking for anything that he can, except he does want full ownership of it. So instead of being like, please, anybody, give me a reason, this one, maybe this one, tell me, just please. He's like doing that within his own head and coming up with fabricating the reasons and then being like, so I know everything and this is why I'm doing this reason for here and that. And it's completely incoherent, but it's worse. It's worse than what Christie was doing. It's worse than Brussels sprouts. I have not seen, it's certainly worse than Devin. You know, this is the worst, first HOH I've ever seen. Yeah.
And it's Friday.
3 days in.
We can only hope that
they moved into the house 48 hours ago.
I do think it's worth pointing that out though, that, the only other first HOH I've seen in its entirety is Cody's from last year, and that was, you know, an extraordinary one. Mm-hmm. The other ones, we didn't have the feeds for this stuff. It may be that by the time the veto rolls around, things are a lot more calm, and you know, it may appear to be something other than what it was. There's a possibility that other first HOHs were this hectic. We just never had the chance to see it because all we saw was an edit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask is in terms of like positioning for everybody else next week, because normally when I watch Big Brother, I look out for the people who aren't HOH that are getting on the HOH's good side and are starting to work well with them. And I think to myself, okay, they're pretty good. They're going to be well set up. But now with Frenchie like flaming out so hard and being so much of an over player, like the biggest one in my mind is Brittany. I thought initially that Brittany was doing a really good job because she's getting so close with Frenchie and they seem to have a good bond. But of all the people who are close to Frenchie, I kind of feel like Brittany's doing it a bit too much now, where I've seen some of stuff in the feeds where she's kind of defending him a bit too much. And is it weird that this season more than any other, like if you're getting too close to the HOH, it's a bad thing? That feels kind of rare for Big Brother.
I mean, it certainly could be, you know, the first HOH usually has a lot of power, so being associated with them can be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Brittany's in an interesting spot so far. I need to see more from her to understand exactly what she's doing. She seems to have some set targets. She is definitely, I think, you know, Kyland is the one that got the ball rolling on Derek X. I think she is the one that you know, has kept it rolling.
Mm-hmm.
And she also has been trying to sabotage Hannah's game for no other reason that I can tell than she seems to know the game really well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly what her like long-term plan is, but her current like short-term game has been focused on sabotaging these two people and getting in Frenchie's ear about them and sort of just like gathering as much information as she can and running it back to Frenchie. I don't know if that means that she is going to be stuck to Frenchie for the whole game and continue to play that kind of rat floater-ish kind of thing, or if she intends to, you know, move on to the next HOH and the next person who is going to be in power and operate in that kind of rat floater kind of game, or if she'll stick with Frenchie and just be like a loyal ally to him. I'm not entirely sure. She has a strange way of playing so far, and I don't love it because she's already being name-dropped by Frenchie as one of his sources of information, and then she's denying it. And I see Frenchie now just talking about like, you know, Brittany was in that conversation and she was acting like she knew less than she did. And it's kind of strange.
Taryn, do we know, has Brittany told the house guests about her autism yet? Or is that something that she's not planning to tell the house guests?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not sure. If I had to guess, I would say they knew, but I don't know that I've heard anyone speak about it, like actually speak about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever heard her mention it at all. And I'm not surprised because it seems like with all of the strategizing and the stuff going on with Frenchie, I don't think she has any time to mention this kind of stuff about her personal life.
Dominated the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Kevin, thank you so much. And good luck trying to explain the rest of Big Brother 23 to your girlfriend.
I'll do my best. I won't be Taryn, but I'll try.
No. Well, who could be? Okay.
No.
All right, Kevin, thank you so much. Very excited that we have a Brett Farenkopf sighting. Brett, how are you?
What's up? Long time no talk, friend.
Yes. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm excited for a Big Brother season. I didn't really pay attention last season. All Stars is boring. They all know what they're doing. There's no messiness like this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very messy. Brett, what's going on?
How excited are you guys to be doing this again? This is so dumb. And we're getting week one feeds. Like, this is like a gift from the gods, isn't it?
I can't believe it's day three.
Yeah.
Like, Taryn does an update, and like 2 hours later, it's like, oh, well, I can delete that from my feed. Like, what is even happening?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's super interesting. I'm really it's inconvenient timing for me, but it's very fascinating to be able to see this sort of thing start from day one, see how it evolves, and the different ways that that it changes. I've been very pleased.
I didn't I I honestly blanked out last season for All-Stars. We didn't have night one feeds, did we? Or did
yes, we did.
We did. We okay. did.
And that was the first time since Big Brother OTT, right?
Yes. I think that they used to have, very early starting feeds, like way back.
Like real players.
Something like that. But as far as... But
I don't even think that... Even like Big Brother 2, I think those shows were edited when... I think that the Big Brother Season 1, I think, might have been a live move-in, and then you could watch
that. That might have been
I think that by Big Brother 2, that I'm pretty sure that there were not feeds after the first night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember.
Or if there were, they maybe they turned the feeds on, but it was 5 days after what you saw in the episode.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy because you see stuff online, you're like, does this person have a relationship with this person? It's like, dude, we know as much as all of they, we probably know more than they know at this point. Everyone is so blind. They have maybe 15 to 30 minutes of one-on-one time with most of these people. They have no idea what these relationships are. It's like, it's just a completely different world when we get night one feeds, I think. Because usually we get, it's a week later, if not 10 days later?
Usually they move in about a week before the premiere, right?
Yeah, in the U.S., it's usually about 5 days before the feeds turn on. In Canada, it's about a week sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't usually the first week HOH 14 days or
The first
longer?
HOH they usually extend it. Or they used to extend it. It was a week and a half to 2 weeks long.
This would have been a mess. At least. Because we have an eviction on Thursday, I assume?
This Thursday, the first person will be evicted. So it'll be 8 days in total for Frenchie. But it feels like 8 years to us.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for the season. I don't really have any questions. I mean, I have the same questions you guys have. What's going on?
What is going on?
Yeah. It's fun to watch, though. It's kind of chaotic. And Taryn, are you with your move, are you happy that you're on West Coast time? And do you stay up late?
How's that impacted your feed watching?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't change a thing. I'm podcasting at the same time in the morning, so I need to go to bed at the relatively same distance of time from that update. So I just have an earlier sleep schedule, that's all.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. We'll see how that goes when we get 12 a.m., that midnight Big Brother time, which would have been 3 a.m. East Coast. You may still be awake for that. I don't know. I think your sleep schedule is going to change.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I used to stay up until at least 1 or 2 a.m. Now I'm staying up basically until 10, 11 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I'd wake up, I'm waking up at 5:30 every morning here. Okay. So I just have a much earlier schedule.
Yeah. So you're pretty much just the Rob of the West now.
Exactly.
It's a good schedule. That's why Taryn gets it. He knows what to do. He's not out there partying on the West Coast, okay? The guy's got a job to do.
He can go out to all those after parties though and really get the good gossip out though and stay out till late with all the Big Brother alum.
Maybe one day. I don't know how many after parties there are these days. All right, well, Brett, great to catch up. Happy you're enjoying the season. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yep. Talk to you later. Nice talking to you.
Bye. All right, let's say hi to Julie, who's on hold. Julie, how are you?
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you great.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great, Julie. What's happening?
I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you both survive your move. I'm the patron that has a moving company, so I reached out to people throughout.
Yes, well, I've made it through. Taryn is still waiting for his stuff.
I'm still waiting. Let me tell you, I've called the guy a few times. He's not answered me in the last week, and I'm still just waiting. So,
are you comfortable talking about what you did with your move?
I hope it goes through.
Yeah.
I hired a moving company, and they came and they picked this stuff up. They said it would take about a week to a week and a half. It's been over 2 weeks now. And the guy that I talked to, I texted him, on Tuesday, I got no response. I called him yesterday. I left a message. He still has not contacted me.
Well, good luck with that. I'm sorry to hear that. Your stuff's probably sitting at a truck stop in the middle of nowhere right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, my question for you guys, just considering the odd amount of money that they raised the prize money up to, what are the odds that they're going to, you know, if the four team numbers stay together, are they going to bump it up to a million? Or have you guys considered that at all, if they're going to somehow make it a million instead?
I can't see that they're going to raise it and not tell them. Like, if there was some, like again, like some like sort of carrot and stick, like what was it, Big Brother 6, where if you get to the end with your secret partner, you'll get double the money. Is that a real thing that happened, right?
Yeah, in season 6.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell them anything.
So they didn't incentivize them. So it like kind of does nothing to like reveal on finale night, by the way, you made it to the end with your teammate, so we'll give you extra money.
My thought was maybe they're going to try out the teams, and if they don't work out, then they can pull the plug. But if it's going along smoothly, you know, it may cause some distraction of people are starting to bond out outside of their teams, but mm-hmm. they pull them back in. That's kind of what I was thinking, is they're just kind of, you know.
You know, I think it was Hamster Watch today who had tweeted about how it's like bizarre that they never did a press release about the fact that they raised the prize money not to a million. And I don't know if it's the type of thing that the show typically does, but I think it speaks to the fact that like they didn't really publicize it. It's like they are publicizing that it's the biggest prize in Big Brother history, but it's like they're really like kind of like I think embarrassed that they didn't raise it to a million.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems odd to me. Like, what's the catch? Just go up.
750,000 is just such a like odd number to have as the prize for a game show.
And 25 cents, you mm-hmm. know, why, you know, make it some really strange number. So.
Mm-hmm. I could see a scenario where
question if you guys had considered it.
Yeah, I could see a scenario where like similar to the offer that was presented to Frenchie for the AHOH competition, they're presented with like, okay, if you accept this punishment or take this risk, then you have the opportunity to up your prize pool to $1 million or whatever, you know, something along those lines. I could see that, but I could also just see it being 750.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think that they want us to talk about how this is like the biggest prize in Big Brother history. Like, I almost feel like that they will almost never say $750,000 again.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it as like the biggest prize. Just talk about like what a huge pot of money it is for this season.
And after you pay your taxes, you're going to end up with.
Yeah. And Julie even called it the life-changing $500,000 as like a, you know, like a. We know a lot of those people that I'm pretty sure Ian Terry told Taryn that it didn't really change his life that much.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. Student loan debt, maybe. Take care of that.
Yeah. Look, it's not nothing.
All right.
I mean, it's...
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate everything you put out there. I'm always in the background. Sometimes I chime in. But I thank you guys so much for your time and all the information you give us.
Yes.
So.
Thank you so much, Julie. Okay. You take care. All right.
Right. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Brett G. Another Brett. Okay. It's like we have multiple Derricks. We have multiple Bretts. Okay. Here's Brett G. Brett, how are you?
Doing pretty well. I was very confused when the first Brett came up.
Yes.
I was thinking, wait, seeing double.
Brett F. Yes.
Coming from the Kirsten McInnes School of Maximum Chaos,
mm-hmm.
What do we think would happen if Travis won the veto this week? What does Frenchie do with that? And how do the votes go if it stays, the noms stay the same right now? Because it sounds like he's not targeting Alyssa anymore in the last like 10 minutes. And I'm sure that'll change in 15 more minutes. But
well, yes. Things that have been happening since we've been talking are that Derek X is back in the hot seat. He has become the scapegoat for any conceivable wrong that anybody has been done.
Why?
He's starting rumors, probably.
Because here's, and I talked about this morning, Derek X made the mistake of admitting anything at all. That he said, yes, I said this about Whitney, and yes, I said this and to these people, and I wanted to work with them. And because he admitted something, Now, literally every conceivable thing is being attached to him. And most of it comes from Frenchie and his own delusions, right? But Derek X is being blamed for it. And so now Frenchie is saying that he wants to backdoor Derek X once again. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wins the veto who does not want to use it, Derek X would obviously be safe. And I do believe that Alyssa would be the one to go home. Kyland has already talked to the members of the cookout, and they have promised him their votes. So that's, as Tiffany said, 5. In addition to that, he for sure has Sarah Beth, and he should have other members of his team to back him up there. Alyssa does not have the same kind of support that Kylan does. However, it's still very early in the week, and lots of things could still change.
This is going to be a wild veto draw.
Yeah.
Has Frenchie attempted to justify to anyone how he went from I'm not nominating a woman or a POC to nominating 2 people of color, one of which is a woman? Has he tried to justify that to anyone yet, or is he just kind of pretending it didn't happen?
I don't think he's specifically addressing those things, but he's trying to sort of get out in front of it by saying, I had a whole plan. I had things I wanted mm-hmm. to do, but my hand was forced by
Big
the
brother
things
screwed
that I imagined
me.
In my
yeah.
head.
Yeah.
By Brent's charm. His incredible charm.
You know, Taryn, I've certainly seen, you know, all over Twitter about how Frenchie made that proclamation. Was that something that he said in one conversation? Is that something that he repeated like a speech to the House?
Frenchie said that he had no intentions of nominating a woman, I would say approximately 25 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something around those times.
Okay.
And then talked about hating season 21 and not wanting this season to start the same way with people of color being nominated or targeted probably about 17 times. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. Well,
thank you both. I really enjoy this. And someone was trying to ask me to explain the live feeds, and I said, too much for me. Go watch this, and sent them here.
Yes. Okay.
So,
yeah. Thank you. Both. Thank you, Brett. All right. Take care. All right. Bye. Okay. All right. Let's go to Jesus is here. Jesus.
Hello. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I will say that I only watched around halfway of the morning update today because I had to go to work. And by the time I came out, this was starting. So maybe I'm behind, but I did hear the beginning of this. So I'm kind of caught up. I will want to ask, though, what is Claire's current position in the House? Because that's my favorite right now. That's who I'm thinking is going to win. So where is she right now, Taryn?
Mostly lying low, and I would even say a little bit too low at times. She could be doing things that we're just not seeing because the feed focus is in other places. She's not really on the feeds all that much. In the first night, it seemed like there was some kind of trio/relationship happening with her, Hannah, and Azza. Since then, we've mostly only seen Azza interact with people. We haven't seen a lot of that trio getting together. Haven't seen much from Hannah or Claire since the first night so far. In addition to that, you know, similar to Derek X, I think Claire has left herself in a position where she is an easy person to just kind of throw out there because she's not talking enough game. And in that bro meeting earlier today, she is the person I think that if the nominations hadn't taken place so early, I think she actually probably would have ended up on the block at the end of this day because Brent brought her up as a possible nominee. And unlike Tiffany, who was brought up as a possibility, nobody had any objection to putting Claire up on the block as an alternative to Alyssa. I think she caught a little bit of a break that Frenchie did not have time to change from Alyssa earlier today.
Interesting. Okay. So what you're saying is pretty much Rob's strategy of going to sleep for the first 6 weeks ain't working
for 6 days.
Yeah, okay. I've never really been the biggest proponent of the go to sleep strategy, mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the early boots, Derek X in particular, this week, he's too asleep. He needs to be a lot more active, I think.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, when I was saying that more, I mean, this was like, I was saying that like 6-7 years ago, where
that is very true.
That, you know, a lot of the game has, you know, changed in the last, like, really since BB16, where, you know, you really want to, like, you know, have that position early on in the game and then really, like, you know, enforce your will on the house from an early position.
Yeah.
Back then, I think we all still thought that it was better to throw the first HOH.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Jesus, anything else?
I did have one more question.
Go for it.
Whoever's going to be doing the exit interviews, I'm assuming it's going to be Taryn. Will you be inviting Chappelle on for Tiffany's exit interview?
I think that maybe that might be for more of a long form interview. I think that's a lot to like. You know, add to a conversation. They're like, okay, and then here we have another person here for, who wants to say hello to you.
Yeah, and then he's like, can you please sledgehammer me?
What? Yeah, but I think maybe we can make that introduction at some point in the future.
There we go. As long as you get it on film, I just want to see them interact.
Okay. We'll see what we can do.
All right. Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, and as for exit interviews, no word from CBS yet, but it's the kind of thing where, like, I feel like last season, I feel like they emailed me, like, maybe, like, Wednesday or Thursday of the first week. I'm like, hey, are you available to do exit press this season? Like, yes, please. So haven't heard anything yet, but I expect, you know, if it's going to happen, then it'll be probably the beginning of this week. We'll hear from CBS Publicity and then work on setting that up. And if not, I guess that opens the door for a potential buyback situation.
Yeah, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't surprise me. Although they did say they're following the same, if not similar.
It'd be surprising COVID with the COVID protocols. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. That being said, let me give you a question. This is from somebody who is from Tracy, who says she's camera shy. Are you guys seeing upside to the team situation? Okay, Taryn, we're wondering how the teams of four would affect sort of like one big alliance from showing up in the house. Do you feel like that so far the early results have been successful?
Yes, it's to some degree, at least. I don't think that the teams are the reason why things are so messy. I think that the French is the reason why things are so messy. However, the fort, I'm still not a big fan of the two teams, but, I think we did talk about four teams is much better, because what it's done is it's given people at least a small amount of incentive to, have ties to people that they may not have had ties to before. We saw in that bro conversation earlier that each person in that group that came together had their own kind of motivation. Xavier was trying to save Alyssa in part because he has a relationship with her, but part of that relationship stemmed from the fact that she is on a team with him. And then when other people were brought up from other teams, somebody was brought up from Travis's team, he was kind of like, well, yeah, but I'm on a team with them and they're pretty cool. I wouldn't want to see them go. And so these early conversations are getting a bit more cloudy and muddy because of these extra connections that people were given. And I think that is a good thing. The safety that's given out can be where it gets tricky, and it could limit the game options. But again, because it's only four, or because it's four teams, only four people are safe, or three people are safe from the team situation alone. And that is, I think, a small enough number that it's generally okay. The wild card competition, in addition to that, is like, okay, we're almost to half the cast at this point. So I think we could run into a scenario where we really want to see something happen, but we can't because there's too many safeties being handed out. That's where I'd be a little bit more cautious. But the team thing in general, I think, has been pretty successful. So far,
so good. Okay. I'm going to go to Kenzie. And then I think that's the last person that we have on hold who hasn't come up. Okay. So if you have a question, come on now, or you'll have to wait for next week. All right. Kenzie, how are you? Hold on, you're on mute, Kenzie.
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Enjoying a wild first week of Big Brother. What's going on?
I know. It's only day three. I mean, I was listening to Frenchie last night, and he's like, you know, since day one, since we've gotten here, I have not done anything to you guys. You know, I've always been true to you. Like, they've been there for, you know, 2 months, not 2 days. And it's just, it's funny. But I guess when you're there, everything's intensified.
Mm-hmm.
On what you said about the teams, I played in a mini and it was in teams. It's like we had pregame team set up, and that did have that thing where you are, when they're talking about your teammate, even though we only kind of just met them and talked to them for maybe 5 minutes, but they were still our teammate. And so we would kind of, it would, did give you that, like, not wanting to vote for your team and wanting them to win, even though you don't really know them. So I think that, and they were small teams like that. So that's definitely mm-hmm. good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for this season. It's like, I'm waiting for the letdown, because it's usually the preseason. It's like, all right, everybody's all excited. We've got the promise. And it's like, mm-hmm. we know that as soon as the premiere happens, it's all going to be downhill. But we've got that, like, you know, couple weeks leading up where it's just all sunshine and fun and possibilities. And so far it's been even more amazing than I probably could have thought.
Yep. It's been a wild ride for these 3 days.
I know. Yeah. It's, and I'm very invested in several of them, and
yeah,
it's fun.
Okay. Any favorites you want to share?
Well, Claire, of course, because mm-hmm. I mean, how can you not like Claire?
Mm-hmm.
Xavier's just pretty to look at. I mean, he seems nice too, but I mean, that's like all I can think of when I see him is he's very nice to look at. Mm-hmm.
Aesthetically pleasing. Yes.
Yeah, he is. He is aesthetically pleasing. I don't know. I like so many of them. It's more of who I don't like. I don't particularly like Travis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and freaking Christian.
Yeah.
He lives from Harlington, which is the next town over from me. It's like five miles away.
And do you have any inside info
on him personally? No. Oh. I mean, okay. I was very like trepidatious about him going in, because Harlington is a kind of country, but like suburban country, like mm-hmm. just outside like the small towns, but it's very white bread and very not quite like Litchfield. You probably know Litchfield, but it's not quite Litchfield, but mm-hmm. you know, they're
Karen, you know Litchfield?
I don't.
Well, you're from New York. I thought you might know more Connecticut. It's a very big Connecticut area. So
yeah, I know that. Never overestimate what I know, Kenzie.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right. that's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kenzie,
I was going to ask about Taryn and the time change thing, but you finally answered that. So
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Kenzie, great to chat with you. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right, Taryn, I don't have anybody else on hold to ask a question. Any other parting thoughts before tomorrow's live feed update, which I'm sure things will change only 9 million more times?
I'm sure they will. I mean, I would say like this is great stuff. I wouldn't expect the same level of intensity
to
stick around. That was basically what Big Brother Canada 9 was. Mm-hmm. But even then, like, it's impossible to maintain this energy for the entire season. Things will settle to some degree. We just may have, Big Brother Canada 9 was a perfect example of a season where it maintained a level of energy, but it was still a sort of like steady decline. I would say just try to, keep that in mind as we move forward.
Yeah.
And don't be too disappointed if it's not quite so absurd for the entirety of the season. A lot of the people that you like, you will probably end up disliking at some point. It happens.
We're on pace for an all-time week right now. So just enjoy it while it's here.
Yes, absolutely.
And especially an all-time week on the heels of the all-time worst season of the show, where we didn't get, 2 days that were like these last 2 days here in Big Brother 23 and Big Brother 22.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe when we thought Tyler was leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it. All right. Well, Taryn, incredible job here today. All right. Let you rest up and get ready for tomorrow's live feed update. Of course, if you missed today's, check that out with Puya. And then tomorrow's a Liana Saturday tomorrow?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. So we're all in for a treat. Taryn, this was great. Thanks, everybody, who checked out the first episode of the BBQ&A. Do this again next Friday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.